Well, I appreciate the opportunity again. Quarantine, I guess, has given me the opportunity to get to speak a little more frequently this trip. But I like it, too, because I get the final comment. One last thing about all those prayers that I was thinking about, Mike talked about. Every single one of them, I would suggest to you the thought that went through my head. I would ask you to consider those prayers and understand not a one of them was selfish, but every one of them was self-interested. And I think that's an important distinction, that they were asking something of God. They were interested in what they would receive or what God would bless them with, but it was in the right priority in the sense that ultimately it sought the honor and glory of God. And that would serve a great pattern for us as well. Part of why I like looking at those prayers tonight, we're seeing the lives of individuals, and I love, in that sense, character studies, to look at people, to examine their lives. What did they do right? Sometimes what did they do wrong? And learning from those things, imitating the good, learning from, avoiding the negative. I want to think for just a moment tonight out of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and think of a great example. An example of a life well lived, but an example of one who is challenging and encouraging others as well. And I love the statement, certainly a great encouragement to us, of what Paul was looking forward to. Thoughts will center around verse 23, Philippians 1 and verse 23, where I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul is considering a situation in which he understands, as he writes to the Philippians, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I may die. I may be put to death. I may never see you again. Or I might be released and come and get to labor among you again. I know that's needful. Oh, but I look forward to the alternative. I challenge us in our language. Sometimes we talk about, well, I got up today. I'm on the right side of the grave. It's better than the alternative. Allow Paul to challenge your thoughts. Right. Is it? What is the alternative? Faithful child of God gets to go and be home with him. But Paul recognized, I don't know what's going to happen, and that's okay. If I live, if I die. Let me challenge you, number one, there is an aim, a goal of Paul's life, and that was to magnify Christ. Back up Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Let me serve God. If in so doing I'm led to my death, so be it. Let me magnify, let me glorify God in my life. I'm convinced and have heard of others. What challenged, what marveled the first century people was as they looked at Christians. You are in prison. You're being led away to the Colosseum. You maybe are about to be mauled and ripped to death by animals. And you're singing and praying to God. I don't understand that. They understood there's something different. There's something special about these people. And so even in their deaths, they magnified Christ. And Paul's aim, his whole goal here is, I want to magnify Christ in my body. As long as I live, let me magnify Christ. And when it comes time for my death, let me magnify Christ in that. What I want us to see in that is Paul's aim is to magnify Christ. He lived intentionally. He thought about what he was doing. He thought about how that he was living. He speaks in Galatians 1 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I know what I'm doing. I'm seeking to live for Christ who died for me. That was an intentional thought, an intentional decision that he lived with. We ought not to be seeking half-heartedly to honor and glorify God in our lives. It ought to be a daily, conscious, intentional decision that I want to go forth and live for him. He said to the Christians at Colossae, Colossians chapter 3 and there in verse 1 and 2, if or since you as Christians. Since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Let that be your goal. Let that be your aim. Let that be what you are doing. Therefore, in verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Live intentionally and live for God. That was his aim. Let me magnify Christ in my body. To what end? Number 2, that I might be with Christ. That's what we see in verse 23 that we started with. He knew there was a goal. There was an aim. It wasn't necessarily tied to the things of this life. Let me magnify God in this life that I might live with him for eternity. He knew the end of that life. I am at a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Think about that. That's his reward. That's what he was longing for. It wasn't tied to the physical things of this life. It wasn't tied to the circumstances of this life. What do you long for, Paul? I long to be with Christ. And that's interesting to me from another standpoint as well. Think about what eternity is. Think about how we oftentimes talk about it. We talk about eternal life, something that's never ending. We talk about an eternal body not made with hands. We talk about mansions or rooms in the house of God. We talk about there being no pain, no suffering, no sin, no desires, no wants, no needs. We talk about reunion with loved ones. We talk about an imaginable glory of being there in heaven. But what outshined it all? To be with Christ. Be with him. That's what I long for. That's my reward. That's what I am anticipating. These things, this earth, the things here, it'll be dissolved. It'll be burned up. And I get to go and I get to be with him. Let's live that intentional life, looking to that end. How does he encourage them then that they can do the same thing? Drop down to verse 27. Philippians 1 and verse 27. What's the means or the method by which this is going to be accomplished? Only let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith or for the sake of, or for the faith of the gospel. That's how I live. Now you go and live likewise. This is the means by which you're going to live that intentional life, looking forward to that end of being with God in heaven. How is it accomplished? By the very means of letting your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I'm going to live for him. Paul says, don't do it for me. Well, I long to hear of the good. If I get to come and I see you and I see you living for him, I'm going to glorify God. If I hear of the reports that here are the Christians at Philippi that are living for God, I'm going to glorify God on your behalf. I long to hear of that, whether I'm there or whether I'm not. Don't do it for Paul. Do it because you're living for God, and I'm going to rejoice in hearing that good news. That's the encouragement that still comes to us. I can live the same life. Live that intentional life, looking forward to going and being with God, and the way in which it's going to be done is letting that conversation, that manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel. I'm going to walk with him. Of course, thoughts go there to 1 John 1 and verse 7, walking in the light as he is in the light. And so many other great examples fit with all of these things. But that's the encouragement that I want to leave us with tonight out of Philippians chapter 1, that intentional life. Says, I know what I'm doing. Again, I'm not caught up in the circumstances and the ups and the downs and the fears and the worries and the exaltation, sometimes of just the things of this life. No, I'm living for God. I'm glorifying him. It's an intentional decision because I'm looking forward to something greater, and I'm going to do so by living the life that shines forth the gospel. How are you living tonight? We caught up in the things of the world and caught up in the cares and the concerns and the anxieties and the worries and the schedules and all the things that go on in this life. Are we intentionally living for God? Perhaps there's one that recognizes as we're challenged in that thought, it's time for me to stop living for self. It's time for me to stop living to the world. I want to live for God. I want even this night to do what so many did throughout the book of Acts, so many great examples of those who heard the gospel, who took it into their thoughts and minds. They reasoned with it. They acted on it as they believed it. They repented of their sins. They confessed that Christ is the Son of God who lived and died for us, rose again to sit on the right hand of God. Understanding those things, we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, to rise again as new creatures, and the Lord adds us to His church. Again, time and again through the book of Acts, we see that same pattern beginning right there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 with that instruction being given. We can still repeat that same process tonight. Maybe one who recognizes, I've done those things, I've lived for God, but oh, how easy it is to stop living intentionally, and I drift through life. I wander through life. Start living for God once again. Maybe you've brought some shame or reproach on the church and you're asking for some public repentance or asking for the prayers of your great brothers and sisters here. I know they would support and encourage you. Maybe all of us can have that determination. I'm going to make a more concerted effort day by day to go forth and live for Him. That's the challenge that the gospel lays before us tonight. What will you do with it? If we can help you in any way, wouldn't you let me know? And as together we stand, as we sing.